Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I hope you're well.
Yes. It's been a hectic day, but I'm well.
Oh, and it's been a hectic day for many. Hectic is good, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're reading from the Zohar of Parsha of Shlach Lecha, section 6, Joshua and Caleb, verse 30. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenehu. Vayishlah Ha'am Shvet Gomer. Dulam anashikut zakayin havo v'rei shedi Yisrael havo avalinun dibru legarmayu eta bisha amai nadle eta da ela amru iye alun Yisrael yara Nitavad anan yuchat mecher vei Reishin v'yimei Moshe Reishin acharanin V'ha'anan zakaya enan V'mikvira lemecher vei Reishin aval v'yara la yuske V'yau v'nat lei eta Bishal garmaihu mitu ikun the callinun vinat lav milaihu. And Moshe sent them, all those men, meaning that all were righteous and chiefs of Israel. However, they took bad counsel for themselves. Why did they take this counsel? It was because they thought, if Israel entered the land, we would be removed as chiefs, and Moses would appoint other chiefs, since we deserve to be chiefs only in the desert. In the land, we would not deserve to be chiefs. Due to having taken bad counsel for themselves, they died, as did all those who accepted their counsel. Moses sent tourists into the land. It's usually translated as spies. And the verb in Hebrew, latur, can be translated either way, as a tourist or as a spy. A spy is going with a specific intent of determining weaknesses on the part of his enemy. A tourist is going to review the area, his whole direction and Kavanah is totally different than that of a spy. Why would they take this bad counsel? This verse expresses it. Let me reread this. They thought that Moses would appoint other leaders because they didn't deserve to be a leader in the land, only outside the land. And this is the tool that the negative forces use, the Satan uses. It is almost his strongest tool. What is that tool? I don't deserve it. In our own lives, every day, we get that thought in one way or another. I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it. This is the negative side talking. Throw that thought out of your mind. Throw it away. Take it. Imagine you're taking that thought and putting it into a wooden box. And you're going to place that wooden box in a fireplace, and you're going to watch it burn into nothingness. Because the Creator was involved in your creation. The Creator is saying to you, the land is yours. The idea is yours. The success is yours. The Creator is telling you, this is for you. He doesn't say you don't deserve it. He created you. He knows that you're entitled. Not entitled not to earn it, but entitled to possess it, to work for it, to earn the process. Whatever the goal is, there is never an idea of I don't deserve. That is the strongest, one of the strongest tools of the Satan. Burn it out of yourself and watch it go up in smoke to be nothing, because it is nothing. Verse 31. Ele shemot ha'anashim asher shalach asher v'gomer amar Rabbi Yitzhak Moshe yistakal v'yadad ila yitzlechun v'yarchayhu k'dein tzalei alei di Yehoshua k'dein kalev Ava badoch dochaka amar ma abid ha Yehoshua azil besieta ila'a yemoshe deshadar beinechilu besihara behu anhir ale vitzlote begin beinechilu Shem Shama Azad Balev Vishtamit Menaihu Yatelegabe Kavraya Diavahan Mitzale Taman Salote. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent. Rabbi Yitzhak said, Moses observed and was aware that they, that is the spies, would not succeed in their mission. And he then prayed about Joshua. Caleb was then in distress. He said, what shall I do since Joshua goes forth with the utmost help of Moses? Who inspired in him the illumination of the moon, which is Malchut? He shone upon him with his light in his prayer. Since he is the aspect of the sun, which is their unpin. So what did Caleb do? He dropped back from the spies and came to the burial place of the patriarchs and prayed his prayer there. Caleb risked his life. He wasn't traveling with anybody. He left the group and went to the cave of Machpelah. They were touring the ground. They were walking through the land. And they observed lots of funerals because Hashem wanted people busy with other things, with mourning, unfortunately. But they were mourning the loss of their loved ones. So they weren't paying attention to this group of 12 men walking through their land. Caleb went on his own. He was so concerned about his spiritual life, and he knew he needed help. So he went on his own. Did he ask the others to go with him? Perhaps he did, perhaps he didn't. We don't know. But he went on his own to the cave of Machpelah. Did the others stay together and never go on out on their own, never go into different parts of the land? Can you cover the land of Israel? Can you tour the land of Israel in 40 days? I know the Israeli government would say you can do it in 7 days. Personally, I was there for 3 weeks. I did not see all of the land. I don't think you can see all of the land in 40 days. And I was driving in a car, not walking. Verse 32. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, O racha hara nafiyu. V'yakim shevilim umata al devre. V'yavahan v'istakan. V'gar me v'hakitiv. V'sham achiman sheshe. V'tal me yelide. Ha'anak aval man v'ihu. V'dochaka la istakal. Nidi kach kalev. V'gim v'hala v'dochaka. La istakal midi v'yata. V'tzal v'a al kaivrei. Avan. V'yish tazva me'etada. Rabbi Yehuda says, Caleb went a different way and took winding paths, meaning that he followed twisted paths. He reached the burial plots of the patriarchs and endangered himself, as it is written, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. However, just as someone in distress does not pay attention to anything, so too it was with Caleb. Because he felt distressed, he was not observant, and he came to pour his prayers upon the burial plots of the patriarchs in order to be saved from the council of the spies. Who were Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak? In the chapter 6 of Genesis, it talks about the giants, and it talks about the angels who came to earth and were attracted to the women, to the daughters of man. These were the children of those unions. They lived a long time. We're only talking 600-700 years from when these unions took place. Maybe longer, maybe 1600 years. But ultimately, these people are giants. As they say, as the spies said to the people, we were like grasshoppers in their sights, in their vision. Caleb endangered himself, and what the Zohar is saying in answering my question from before, the Zohar is saying that Caleb was so distressed about being influenced by the spies that he left them to avoid that and ran to where he could get help. Moses didn't help him. Why? We don't know. We don't know yet. I don't know at all. Maybe it will be revealed in the Zohar section, maybe it won't. But for whatever reason, Caleb was in distress. We get into distress a lot of times. And when we are in distress, we don't pay attention. We don't observe the things around us. And it's a good lesson to learn. There's no need to ever be distressed, because everything that happens in the world is for the best. It is perfectly just world at every moment. It's hard to see it, but that doesn't make the statement untrue. Verse 32. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Orach Achara Natil, V'yakim Shevilim, Umata Al Kavre, V'yavahan V'istakan, V'gar Medehap Ketiv, V'sham Achiman Sheshe, V'tal Me Yelide, Ha'anak Aval Man V'yihu, the Dohaka La Istakal Midi Ach Kalev Begin Dehava Nido Hakala Istakal Nidi Riatala Tala Al Tifre Avaham Ishta Ziva Mi Eitada. Rabbi Yehuda said, Caleb went a different way and took winding paths, meaning that he followed twisted paths. He reached the burial plots of the patriarchs and endangered himself, as it is written, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. However, just as someone in distress does not pay attention to anything, obviously I read this verse before. Please excuse me. Verse 33. Vayikra Moshe Lehoshaya Bin Nun Yehoshua Rabbi Yitzhak Amar V'ki Hoshaya Karae Kara V'hakiti V'yomer Moshe El Yehoshua V'yehoshua Bin Nun Na'ar V'yachalosh Yehoshua Ala al Moshe Ya Yoshiacha Minayhu. And Moshe called Hoshea, son of Nun, Joshua. Rabbi Yitzhak said, did the scripture ever call him Hosea? Is it not written? And Moses said to Joshua, and Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, and Joshua harried? He responds, however, Moses told him, Yud-Heh will save you, Hoshea, from them, since Joshua, Yehoshua, is spelled with the letters Yud and Heh, and Yoshea will save. I read a very lovely statement about the way the Torah is changed. I read it today. The Midrash says that when the Yud in the name Sarai was removed and replaced with a He and renamed Sarai Sarah, so that her, as part of the change in her destiny, in her tikkun, the Yud went to the Creator because it was concerned that it had been removed from the world. Been removed from Sarah, would not be participating in the Jewish world. And the Creator said to the Yud, not to worry. In Sarai, you were the last letter in the name. In Joshua, you will become the first letter in the name. Many of us have heard that story. I've heard that midrash. What I hadn't heard was an addendum to that. Because when the Yud is at the beginning of the word, it always has a sheva, a shva, vowel. The two dots, one above the other. The vowel that has no sound. The Yud moved in the Torah. It went from Sarai to Joshua, to Yehoshua. But also the vowel went with it. In Sarai, the Yud has no, it didn't have a, it had one dot. But the vowel for the shva needs two dots. Where did it come from? And the midrash that was related in this said it came from the segol, the three dots. Two of those dots went to the Yud of Yehoshua, but still the dot, the single dot was left, and that was the single dot of Sarai. The message of the Midrash is the Torah changes. The letters rearrange themselves as the stories of everybody's lives change. Yes, our scroll is set. Yes, our scroll doesn't change. But we change the Torah by living the Torah. And when we do so, even the vowels change. Every last dot in the vowels that aren't there in the Torah are still changed, still conserved. The whole idea of entropy, the physical concept of entropy, that an entropy must be conserved as things change. There's no loss of mass, there's no loss of energy. Entropy. This is our Torah. This is the spiritual law. Verse 34. Rabbi Abba Amar Evan Deshadre Lemeal Letaman Itztarif Lemecheve Shalim Uvma Bishkinta Ga'ad Hahi Sha'ata Na'ar Ikre Kimadi Okimna Uvahi Sha'ata Kashir Le Moshe Bachada Ve'a'agidi Ashkechan Yehoshua Bekad Me'ata Tarakar Ye Aki al hahu dezamin lemi kriyai amar Moshe v'day la itzterich dal meal taman ela bishkinta v'haki itchaze. Rabbi Abba said, as soon as Moses sent Joshua to go there, to the land of Israel, he needed to be perfect. And in what way? With the Shekhinah. Since the land of Israel is a secret of the Shekhinah, until that time he was considered a young man. As we have explained, meaning that he was attached to Metatron, referred to as a young man. At that time, Moses tied him to the Shekhinah. He was referred to in the scriptures prior to that as Joshua, because the scriptures referred to him according to what he was destined to be called. Moses said, most certainly it is not proper for him to arrive there except by the Shekhinah, and that is appropriate. Therefore he called him Joshua, adding the Yud to his name, which is the secret of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is an interesting concept. It's a very real concept. The Shekhinah is defined or described in the academic Kabbalists as the female aspect of God. God does not change. But when we make mistakes, we impact God. God doesn't change, then how do we understand that metaphor? This is the concept of the Shekhinah. That word is not in the Torah ever, in the Tanakh at all. But it's written about constantly in the Talmud and in the writings of the Kabbalists. The Shekhinah is this the Shekhinah is Malchut. But the Shekhinah is a concept that allows the Creator to be changed. Wait a second. The Creator is changed? Not the Creator, but the Shekhinah, which is the Creator. And this concept of the Shekhinah being changeable, think about how powerful we are, that we can change the Creator. We can repair the Creator when we've made a mistake. Moses said he must be perfect with the Creator. And he's not perfect when he's attached to metronome. Who is MT is the way I should be pronouncing it. It's daylight, so it's okay to pronounce his name, Metatron. But at night, it's not a good idea to pronounce his name, so we call him MT. Who is he? He's the head angel in the world of Yetzirah. Mikhail's the head angel. No. Mikhail, some say Mikhail and MT are the same people, the same essence. But MT is different than Mikhail. Mikhail is a race of entities who have the responsibility of what the angel Mikhail is described as doing. But MT is the Tali, which is another race of angels who are called the Watchers in the book of Daniel. The Tali is just what Abraham called them in the Sefer Yetzirah. The Tali are dragons. The Tali are entities from different dimensions. But when Hanoch ben Yared walked in heaven, walked with God, took his body to heaven, he went to live with the Tali. And being a human being, living with entities in other dimensions, he integrated and caused changes within them. And he became a different race of angels. He became Memtet. Joshua was connected to that. He was at the level of Hanoch when he walked with God. But he was destined to rise to a higher level. And that's what Moses was doing. Verse 35. Rabbi Chaya Chia Amar Vekila Awa Yada Moshe Deit Bakrama Ilanin Meshanyan Da Minda Vahahu Shabbat La Yisrael Vekama Zimin Vehu Istapak Veda Veha Uchabrihu Ka'amar Leilu Moshe B'chad Meta Vihi Eretz Zavat Pelev Halav Udvash Amar Rabbi Yosef Ha'it Ataru Havraya Dikti Vish Chaya Be'eretz Utz Yod Shemo. Whether there is a tree in it or not. Rabbi Shia said, did Moses not know that there are a variety of trees there? Different ones from the other? Isn't he the one who praised the land several times with its olives and its grapes and its pomegranates and was satisfied with it? Didn't the Holy One, blessed be He, tell Moses originally that this was a land flowing with milk and honey? Rabbi Yosef said, the friends already noted that it is written. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, meaning that he wished to inquire of them whether Job was there to protect them. And tree, the Hebrew word es, is like the Hebrew word utz. What a different interpretation. What a different understanding. He wasn't asking about trees, of course. He wasn't asking to know if the tree of life was in the land. He knew it wasn't. He knew he wasn't going to be able to go into the land. But he was concerned about the tourists. Would Job protect them? If he was in the land, Job is a relative of Abraham, a distant cousin. People don't know that. It's revealed in the Zohar. It explains many things. It also gives you a different understanding of what Yehov, coming from the land of Uz, represents. He's coming from the land of trees. Or the land of the one tree, the tree of life. Verse 36. Amar Rabbi Shimon Ramaz Lachem Remiza Dehachmeta Alma Deshailu Bekad Meta Diktiv Hayesh Hashem Bekir Beinu Im Ayin Amar Taman Tachamun Ihi Itchazya Lehai O Lehai Amar Lom I Tachamun Deiva Diaraf Hishar Aye Yalma Yeshba Etz Ilana Dechayae Bela Meatar Ila Ayatir Dei Dechamun Deiva Diara Yatir Shanya Mikol Atar Dialma Tim de un de ha meatika Dadisha ka nagid de it meshach Ahu shinu ya ila a mikol atre di alma Uda tim da un hayesh ba etz imayin Veda ve itun vekat veta Lamin da da dikti Hayesh Hashem Bekir beinu Bekar bene bedu Daika o imayin Viad vehit hazaktan Ulkachtem Mibri haaretz Lamin da shenuye dile Rabbi Shimon said he gave them a wise allusion regarding to what they asked before. As it is written, is Hashem among us or not? The Hebrew word is Ayin. Being the question of whether Zeron Pin, referred to by Yud Kei Vav Kei, is staying with them, or Arikan Pin is among them, referred to by Ayin. He said, there in the land you will recognize if it is worthy of this. Of Zeron Pin, who is referred to as tree, or of this, of Arikan Pin, who is referred to by Ayin. He further told them, if you notice that the fruits of the land are similar to those in the other countries in the world, then there is a tree in it, which is the tree of life, meaning Zeron Pin, but not from a higher place. However, if you notice that the fruits of the land are decidedly different from other fruits in other countries of the world, you will know that the supernal difference flows and comes out from Atika Kadisha, and that it contains rather than all the places in the world. Through this you will be able to recognize if there is a tree in it that is there on him or not. Atika Kadisha, that is Arikan Hin. That is what you set out to discern in the beginning, as it is written, is Hashem among us? And among us is specific, since they inquired if Zeran Pin rests among them or not. I am referring to Arikan Pin. Therefore, and be of good cheer, courage, and bring of the fruit of the land, to know the difference in them, meaning to be aware if there is a difference in them or not. What the spies, the tourists brought back was fruit that was decidedly different than the fruits of other lands. It was larger. It was more delicious. It was all of the adjectives that the Midrash brings and talks about. But what about today? 100 years ago, the land was barren. The Jews had been taken out of the land into exile for 2,000 years. There were a few Jews studying Torah in Jerusalem, but Jews didn't own land in Israel until about the early 1900s, when the first Aliyah from Russia started, where the Zionists and the Rothschilds and other philanthropists purchased land from the Arabs, but not from the Arabs, from the Muslims, from the Turks, actually. What about today? We know that the land was barren at that time, and through the efforts of the Jews on the physical level, the non-religious people who came to Israel, the land bore fruit. It became a land of milk and honey. But it's still fruit that's sold in Europe, oranges that go to Europe, grapes that go to Europe. It's still not that unique meaning in our world, in our generation. Arikan Pin is not yet in the land. We haven't grown back to that level. And that level needs to happen. Maybe it has to wait for Mashiach, but maybe it can happen now. To know that if something is lacking is the first step in working towards fulfilling that lack. Verse 37. Bechayamim yamei bikurei anavim bechayamim maika meirei dehaviyaz bikurei anavim sagi leela bechayamim inun diishtamod am uhu halo mitchabram behahu zimna behahu Ilana dechata Be Adam Harisho Yemad Tanenan Anavim Ayubi Alda Dechayamim Inum Dishtamot Yan Yemed Kule Anavim Daka. Now the time, the days, was the time of the first ripe grapes. He inquires, now the days, what is meant to convey? Since it would have been sufficient to say, now was the time of the first ripe grapes. He responds, however, now the days are those that are known, meaning the 6 days, which are Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, as they're on tenth. All were attached at that time to the tree against which the first man sinned, which is Malchut. And we have learned that it was the grapes. Therefore, we see that grapes is Malchut. As a result of the days that were already known to be the six ends of Zeran Pin, are the season of the first ripe grapes, which is Malchut. That is, the six ends of Zeran Pin were joined at that time with Malchut. In preparation for the children of Israel to enter the land, the other seven nations had made grievous errors, hurting the land. They had lost the right to be in the land. In preparation for that, in repair of that, the Creator put the situation where they were, all of the lower Sephirot were in unity in the land. That's what this verse in the Zohar is coming to teach us. Verse 38. Vaya'alu b'nei Eged v'yavo ad Hebron v'yavo mi ba'ele ela amar Rabbi Yosef kalevu di'ata l'tzala'a Al kivre avahata Amar Kalev Yehoshua Ha Barke Moshe Tesiwa Ila'a Kadisha Viakil Ishta Zava Minaehu Vianama Viav Avid Imlach Lemiba Ebiuta Al kivre avahata begin di ishtaziv me'eta bishad ishar me'alim. And they ascended into the Negev, and he came to Hebron. He inquires, it should have said, and they came, in plural. He answers, however, Rabbi Yosef said it refers to Caleb, who came to pray upon the graves of the patriarchs in Hebron. Caleb thought to himself, Joshua, indeed. Moses blessed him with the highest holy help, and he could extricate himself and save himself from them. What shall I do? He took counsel to pray a prayer by the graves of the patriarchs in order to be rescued from the misguided decisions of the rest of the spies. I've asked the question before, and why didn't Moses also help Caleb? The answer, I think, I've never read it, but the sense that I have is that Moses knew that Caleb would go to the cave of Machpelah. He would go to the patriarchs. He would pray for them. And in the process of his prayer, he would inform them that the children of Israel were coming to Israel. He would inform the patriarchs that the promise of Hashem was being kept. Perhaps that's why he didn't help Caleb, because he knew that the patriarchs could help them. Caleb was the chief of the tribe of Judah, representing Malchut. All 12 tribes representing Malchut, but they're all relative to each other, aren't they? There's a Malchut, and then there's the, within the Malchut, there's the 11 other tribes. Judah is Malchut and Malchut. Malchut means kingdom. Keter means crown. So is Yehuda the crown or the kingdom? Verse 39. Rabbi Yitzhak Amar, Man Dehava Rashim, Mikulhu Da'al Begavai, Devei Tariah Tola, Betachatzi Manhu Nishar, Achali V'yekul, Lea Allah Taman Deha Kiti Vishamahiman Sheshe Vitalme Umid Hilu Vilhon Man Yakili Allah Bimarza Ela Shakinta Allah Taman Sakale Leva Ashra Lea Baham Deha Matarina Lea Allah Benaihu Lea Radio Melo Uchabarishu Vidahu Viavo Ad Hebron. Rabbi Yitzhak said, "And he came means whoever is more important than the rest, it enters into him. That is, the Shekhinah entered and was clothed in Caleb, since upon it, on the Shekhinah, everything depends. Come and see who has the advantage over the rest to be able to come there to Hebron, since it is written, 'And there were Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai.' As a result of hearing them, who would be able to come even to hide in the cave? But the Shekhinah was clothed there in Caleb to bring tidings to the patriarchs. The time has arrived for their children to enter the land, which the Holy One, blessed be He, had sworn to them. And that is why he came to Hebron. It doesn't say, 'And they came,' since it alludes to the Shekhinah. Why would the Shekhinah be clothed in Caleb? You can understand what the verse is saying on its superficial level. But why was the Shekhinah there? We're told that the Shekhinah only comes to a minyan when 10 men are doing something together. That is where the Shekhinah rests. Caleb is the 10 men. Must be. How do we understand that? What just occurred to me is the idea of the Caleb. Caleb means like our heart. Our heart has a gematria of 32. The 22 Hebrew letters and the 10 paths, or the 10 sefirot. Because of that connection through his name, he represents a minyan. One person can be a minyan. Maybe there were 10 different aspects of his soul. I'm not sure. I don't understand the answer. I don't have the answer. But it is a question that needs to be asked. Why would the Shekhinah be enclosed in Caleb alone? Verse 40. Tana Achiman Sheshe Betalme Miman Nachku Zarahavo Meinun Nefilim Diapilon Uchabarichu Biara Bialidu Nibanat Ara Uminaihu Nachku Ibare Alma Kimadiki Emal Hagimorim Asher Meolam Anshe Hashem Asher Meolam Miditzpere Alma Mishtache Anshe Hashem Achiman Sheshai V'Talmei. From whom were Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmei descended? They were the offspring of the Nephilim, the fallen ones, that the Holy One, blessed be He, dropped from the heaven to the earth. And they produced offspring from the daughters of the earth. From them emerged the mighty men of old. As it is written, the same were mighty men of old, men of renown. Of old means that they were present from the time the world was created. And men of renown are Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, meaning that their names were well known in the world. If you are 10 feet tall, if you are a sports star, people pay attention to you. Should they? That's a whole different question. Just because you're good in sports doesn't mean you know how to decide what a government should do or what politics should do or what other people should do. But men of renown is a term that the Torah uses to describe the equivalent of our sports heroes in today's world. Verse 41. V'yavu ad nachal ashkol v'domer Rabbi Yehuda patach so amar ha'el Hashem Tore ha'shamayim v'notehem v'gomer Kama id leho livne nasha v'yistach la v'fulchana The Kuchabarifu Kama eat Lehole Istakla, the Milevi Oraita, the Koman the Ishtadal, the Oraita Ka Ilu, the Kare Kor for the Naim, the Alma, the Kame Kuchabarifu, the La O de La, the Kuchabarifu, the Kaper. Le al kol fogo takmin le kama kurseyan le al ma diate. And they came to the Wadi of Eshkol, which Eshkol means cluster. The Wadi of Eshkol is the cluster valley. Rabbi Yehuda opened the discussion with the verse. Thus says the El Hashem, He that created the heavens and stretched them. How much do people need to observe the worship of the Holy One, blessed be He? How much need there is to inquire in matters of Torah? For it is as if everyone that studies Torah brings all the offerings in the world to the Holy One, blessed be He. Not only that, but the Holy One, blessed be He, also wipes away all his iniquities and prepares many thrones for him in the world to come. The world that is coming. This verse, like many of the last verses in a section, leads into the next section. But I find it interesting that it's quoting a verse from Isaiah. He that created the heavens and stretched them. And I vaguely remember reading, and I will get to it in the Science and Torah class, that there is the idea of addressing the question as to whether the red shift will stop, will come to an end when the energy is used up expanding the universe. The question is, will it stop and stay in place, or will the gravity overcome and bring everything back into another Big Bang? And the science today has, there's different discussions on how to answer that question. But here the Torah is teaching us, I think, because I haven't really read it, that I remember and can quote it. But I think this idea of stretching out the heavens, what happens when you stretch out a rubber band? It comes back to itself. The fact that the Torah is using this Hebrew word that's translated as stretching is answering that question. The universe will collapse back into a point and start over. Does anybody have any questions?
I always had a picture of when the Earth would get back to not being on an axis, that the axis came after the flood, that then the continents would go back together before. You remember in Peleg's generation when the continents divided and that the continents would go back together. That's what I always associated with that in Isaiah.
There's not one connection. Every verse in the Torah has actually 7 billion understandings, 7 billion aspects, one for each person. So you are right as well.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Machpelah, so I could really visualize as you read the verses.
It is always helpful to have been to Israel, to be mm-hmm. to the various sects. And they're beginning to offer tours to the various sites of the Tzaddikim. It's not well published yet, but if you you go to your travel agent, they will find you a tour that will include stops at the major Tzaddikim so that you can pray there. That wasn't true 30 years ago.
Our visit was in 95, and it was dangerous. And when the person who offered to take us...
How can it be dangerous to go visit a Tzaddik?
Well, none of the other Jews would go. That's what I was told.
The illusion that the Arabs are going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Well, our person was a black belt karate, and he had a gun, and the tour guide was a woman in the community, and she brought her mother and with so it appeared that we were part of her family. She lived there, and we were given three choices of a date, and I chose the first date, and it was the one to go to because the next day the Israelis went in and destroyed an Arab residence because of whatever he had done, and they blocked the roads, and there was no going into there at that time. So, but I felt like, right, and I felt like it was to be done. Because, it's your tradition to go to the graves of your parents at certain specific times, and we had just had our B'nai Mitzvah, Tony and I, together. And that was why I wasn't fearful. I knew that that was a custom and that we would be okay. And that's what happened.
Baruch Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions? Tomorrow, I have a visit from one of my students. I'm not sure that we'll be able to do the class, but if we do, you'll get a text. Hopefully we'll be able to, that our working with each other will be completed, or that we'll be able to break off and have the class as part of our working together. I wish you all a beautiful evening, a beautiful Shabbat, and we'll see you for sure, Leah and Ra, on Sunday.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.